This is a Carlisle ValueCast, brought to you by the Carlisle Group. ValueCast brings you insights from our One Carlisle Network, providing analysis, data, and observations to help you navigate the global economy and top-of-mind issues in news. The Carlisle Group. Invest wisely. Create value.
Greetings and welcome to Carlisle ValueCast. I'm Chris Ullman, head of Carlisle's Global Communications. Today we are discussing the importance of giving back to the communities in which we work and invest. And our guest is none other than David Rubenstein, Carlisle's co-founder and co-CEO. Welcome, David.
My pleasure to be here, Chris.
David, nearly 13 years ago, you and your fellow co-founders, Bill Conway and Dan Daniello, established a volunteer program and a matching gift program here at Carlisle. Why did you do that, and how's it going?
We wanted to make sure that everyone who worked at the firm recognized that we believe that there's more to life than just making money. We think it's important for every citizen of our country to give back to the country or their community. You can volunteer your time, you can give your resources, you can give your ideas, your energy, whatever it might be. We wanted to have a program where some of these kinds of things were done. So one of the things we thought we could do is say to our employees, if you give money up to a certain amount, we will match it. And if you volunteer, we will encourage it. And so that we have this program now where people can get matched up to $2,000 per year to their gifts and can take 2 days of volunteer time to do whatever they want. And we think it's worked quite well. I think about $350,000 last year in employee gifts that were matched by the firm.
As you noted, last year, the firm matched around $350,000 in employee gifts, though, of course, people are giving a lot more than that.
Yes. People in the firm who have made a fair amount of money, they often give much more money than might be matched by the firm. I would guess that the firm's individuals last year probably gave away an amount close to $200 million, would be my guess. So people in the firm are giving away, let's say, roughly $200 million a year, and last year, and probably be greater this year. And I think that's a commendable thing, because we want to have people in our firm giving back to their community, giving back to their country, and making clear that we are a responsible firm. We do more than just make money. That is an important thing for our investors, to make money and get good returns for them. But the residue of that, the profits we make, some of that should go back to the community, to the country, in the form of charitable contributions. And we're quite proud of what our employees do, including those that we match up to $2,000 per year.
So this coming June will be our fifth annual Global Volunteer Month. And this is an opportunity for Carlisle professionals around the world to volunteer at all sorts of places, soup kitchens, helping senior citizens, cleaning up parks. So why did people do this, and what does it do for the firm?
I like to remind people that philanthropy is an ancient Greek word that means loving humanity. It doesn't mean rich people writing checks. So you can volunteer your time and be a philanthropist. By volunteering your time rather than just writing a check, you experience firsthand the pleasure of giving back. So if you're at a soup kitchen, you can see directly the benefit of what you're doing. If you're at a hospital, you can see directly the benefit of what you're doing. Everybody that I have talked to who is participating in these kind of programs come back and say, I wish I could do more.
You and your co-founders and other people here, partners and others, are well known for their philanthropy. So what motivates you to give back?
Well, I give back because I was very fortunate in life and made much more money than I really need and my family needs. So my theory has been that you can do one of three things with the wealth that you have. You can be buried with it, like the ancient pharaohs, but there's no evidence that being buried with your wealth is a good idea. You could wait until you die and have your executor give it away, but it wasn't clear to me I'd actually be able to be in a place where I could see what the executor was doing. So I thought the best thing to do was to give it away while I was alive and have the benefit of seeing it be used in a sensible way. And so I am in a process of giving away essentially all my money. I did sign the giving pledge, which says that you're going to give away half your money during your life or upon your death, but I decided to double that because I think that there are many areas that could use more resources where maybe I can help, and I'm happy to give it.
Whether you're giving away millions or hundreds, how do you ensure that you're actually doing some good and these aren't just feel-good exercises?
Well, there's no guarantee that what you do with your money will have the benefit you want. In the business world, we have a profit-loss statement, and we're very good at measuring whether we are succeeding or not. In the philanthropic world, we are less good at that. So many different philanthropists have come up with different metrics to measure the success of what they're doing. In my own case, I do get reports from the people to whom I give money. I go visit the place to which I've given money. I try to ask people who've been the recipients of it to explain how the money has benefited them. And I think I have a general sense of which things have worked and which things haven't worked. Just as in business, if every investment you make works out perfectly, you're not really taking enough risk, in my view. And just as in philanthropy, if every gift you give, it seems as it's working perfectly and you haven't made any mistakes and the gift is doing exactly what you want, you probably aren't challenging yourself enough. So there's no perfect metric, but I think the things you should look for are, one, are you engaged? Do you feel that you're getting a good use of your money? Two, find some metric by which you can measure this. And three, make sure that the organization really has a plan to use your money in a sensible way, and they are giving regular reports to you and also to other people who might be potential donors. They can say, look what we've done with somebody's money and what we might be able to do using your money in a sensible way as well to attract other gifts.
David, what advice do you have for employers or employees thinking about starting these types of programs?
Sooner rather than later. Don't wait until you perfect the plan. Get it started and modify it and make it better perhaps as it goes along. I've never heard of an employee come to me yet and say, I don't think I like the matching program, or I don't want the volunteer time, or you guys should be just making more money and not letting us give it away. I don't really think people think that way. I think people feel that businesses have some social responsibility, and I think others who are thinking about these kind of programs should start them sooner rather than later and take advantage of the goodwill of their employees to expand the programs in directions where those employees think it makes the most sense.
So of the many gifts that you've given, which is one that really warms your heart?
The ones that have gotten the most attention probably are repairing the Washington Monument for some reason. That got a lot of attention. Giving the Magna Carta to the National Archives on a permanent loan got a lot of attention. But I think most recently, the thing that gave me the most pleasure was that I put up some money to help repair the Renwick Gallery, which is part of the Smithsonian. The naming opportunity was one that I wanted to have in honor of my mother. So I brought my mother up at the opening night and didn't tell her that it would be named in her honor. And of course, when she went up there and she saw the grand gallery and she saw her name on it, she was obviously surprised and quite happy. So I tell people, if you're going to honor your parents, do it while they're alive. I wish I had done that with my father. I waited, unfortunately, too long, and he died unexpectedly. And I later then put up some money to repair the Iwo Jima Memorial. And he had been a Marine. I did that in his honor, but I wish he had been alive when I had done it.
You've also given a substantial amount of money to the National Zoo to fund the panda exhibit, and you've actually been able to hold and touch a panda. What's that like?
Well, I don't know what it was like for the panda. I'm not sure they were that excited, but I enjoyed it. And there's nothing like the pandas. As I like to remind people, there are roughly 10 million species on the face of the Earth. 99% of all the species that had ever been on the face of the Earth are extinct. So there are 10 million left. Of the 10 million species, the most popular seems to be the panda. Every zoo that they're in, they are the biggest attraction. There are 27 zoos in the world that have them. And then, of course, there's major centers in China. And holding a panda when they're young is quite enjoyable, and you get a lot of fun out of doing it. When they get older, you have to be careful because they are bears, and you know, have to be very wary of them. In fact, no zookeeper is ever allowed in with an adult bear because they probably wouldn't survive it. But pandas have unique problems. There are only 1,600 in the world. Probably they're going to be extinct maybe in the next 100 years unless we do a better job of conserving the pandas and teaching them how to reproduce better.
Well, David, thank you for sharing your thoughts on the importance of giving back to our communities. And to our listeners, thank you for joining us on Carlisle ValueCast.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you for joining us. For more information, go to our website at www.carlisle.com. This has been a Carlisle ValueCast podcast.